you take so long to come to me? Oh, baby. And love, love, your love. Tell me, were you hiding from me all the time? Each time I tried to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. Now I don't know just what I'm gonna do.
This is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And welcome back, everybody, to a kind of horrible rainy day this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me on The Spec, as always, Sundays at 4 p.m. My name is Sam Derringer, and it is great to be with you, as always. And today, I'm so excited to have my very first guest of the semester, one of my favorite people on this campus and on this planet, Mr. Ian Kaplan. Ian, how you doing today, man?
Wow, that was quite the introduction. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm one of your favorite people on the planet.
You could say it. Hey, after a stellar photo shoot on Friday, and we'll get into it. But not just that. You're just an awesome dude, man. Yeah, thanks so much for coming onto the show today. We're gonna have a lot of fun. Ian brought on a bunch of songs. We're gonna talk about some things that Ian does, and it's gonna be a great time. So Ian, you holding up okay on this rainy afternoon? You've been productive?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm holding up okay now. Now that I'm here on this incredible radio show, and for all the listeners at home who can't see us in the studio now, Sam has just said such flattering things that he's basically made me blush. So, yeah, I'm totally flattered to be here. So thankful. Thank you so much, Sam, for allowing me to be your first guest. And I had the honor and privilege of photographing this very handsome man yesterday, sort of at various locations on the Tufts campus. And we did.
Yeah.
I'm a photographer, and it's one of my passions. And to photograph Sam, who has an incredible smile and also really knows how to pose, was truly a treat for me. So definitely look out for those photos. But in terms of in terms of your original question, I'm holding up fine. It's Yom Kippur is tomorrow, and
that's
so
right.
I'm Looking forward to a big dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do some fasting and do some praying tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you always, because this is the first question I always ask my guests is, where are you from and how's that, mm-hmm. how's that kind of shaped you? So you're from Massachusetts like me. You're from, a town pretty nearby. This kind of relates to the question of Yom Kippur. How were you, raised? How you were raised shaped you today?
Sure.
And you know, yeah. Give me an answer to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was born and raised in Newton, Massachusetts, which is it's about 25 minutes away from here. I have older brother who's I love, who's my best friend. And then I have two wonderful parents, my mom and my dad. I was raised in a conservative Jewish household, and I was privileged enough to go to some of the best private schools in the area. I went to sort of a prep boys school, first through eighth grade, and that very much shaped my outlook on the world. I loved being in an all boys environment, and I sort of became somewhat political there, but also a little bit creative. So that's cool. Where my love for photography was born. That's also where my love for politics was born. And then those interests kind of increased as I went into high school. I went to Buckingham Brown and Nichols School, BBNN. That sounds like such a sort of prestigious academic name. But that's a fancy way for saying it's just a high school right by the Charles River. And so I was there for 4 years, very close to Newton as well. Mm. And, you know, I'd say of all the things that have shaped me, my family is number one, not the people in my community, but really just my family.
Yeah.
And, having parents who are always very supportive of me, having a brother who always looked out for me, and having, you know, friends as well who, very much wanted me to succeed. So I do very, very much feel like, you know, an integral part of my identity is being Jewish, but then yeah. also some of my interests are both being, you know, political and sort of visually creative as well. And you can see that in my majors right now. I'm an international relations major and a minor in film and media studies. And Sammy D and I here have
Similar interests, yeah.
Yeah, we have similar interests, and we've intersected on multiple occasions. Our paths have intersected on multiple occasions throughout our Tufts experiences. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me a little bit more about, like, for example, this evening. It must be a nice... These holidays give you a nice outlet to go back home and return back to, like, that being with your family and sticking with that tradition. What is preparing for the fast and having a big dinner this evening mean to you at this moment right now? And how is it... What about going back home is nice for you and maybe different than... it has been in the past.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably go to Chabad tonight, and that's kind of like my second home on campus. But not going home. I went home last week for Rosh Hashanah, but I would say I think this time of year where you have kind of back-to-back holidays in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's a time that, and for those of you who are listening who don't know, Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur is sort of one of the most important days in the Jewish calendar, and it's a day to sort of repent on your sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very holiest day of the year, and so I think with these two major holidays, it's a really important time to, as you know, begin your new semester. For all the students listening, it's a really important time to reflect on your life and the person you've become, and the people who you love and care about and you're most grateful for, as well as what you're looking forward to, and that comes in the form of taking accountability and saying, all right, what are my sins, and how can I repent for those sins, and how can I tell God that I'm sorry for what I've done and I'm going to be better? But in a more realistic sense, what I think that really looks like, and this is what I'll be doing tomorrow, is thinking about how I can be a better person, a better brother, a better son, a better friend, a better classmate, a better teammate, whatever the case may be. There's always room for improvement in your life, and so I think this is a really important time to reflect on those, but also to connect with those who you love. So I think Rosh Hashanah, if it's sweet, and Yom Kippur, if it's sort of stern and strict and I wouldn't say sour, but extremely serious, it's sort of a nice contrast to start off your year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, and thank you for offering some of that reflection on the show today as well. But I know, just switching gears for a second, you have brought on a lot of music that you'd like to share on the show as well, and I'd love to get into some of those songs so we have time for a lot of them. Let's see. First on the list today is "Strike Holster" by Lil Yachty.
Sure.
Can you tell me a little bit about why you picked this song?
Well, you know, I honestly heard this song 2 days ago, and I just loved it. I think it's a lighthearted, it's just a really good vibe. And Lil Yachty is someone who has done some experimenting with his rap as of recent, and this is a recent song. And I think he has done a lot to kind of tune up his flow and kind of narrow down his flow. And he sometimes goes out and does a song like Poland, which is a really random song, but other times I think he finds his flow and kind of sticks with it. And this is one of those songs where there's not a lot going on in the song. It's just, you know, Lil Yachty kind of has his trademark, I'd say, auto-tune behind his voice, and there's not a lot going on, but it's consistent and it's clear and it's really easy to vibe with, and it really doesn't matter if you have a strong appreciation for rap, if you never listen to rap, this is something that I think kind of blends a variety of kind of music tastes into one song. So it's a good song, and it's not a song I've listened to that many times, but since I've enjoyed listening to it recently, I thought, why not?
Yeah, it sounds like the perfect song to kick off the show today. So this is "Strike Holster" in parentheses by Lil Yachty. Here we go, everybody.
I was geeking, I was high as tweaking, I was trying to strike, I was trying to strike, I was trying to strike, like a match late night, yeah, strike like I missed it, strike like I hit the pin, strike like I'm not gonna work, strike, you knew that wrong real when you heard it, you know that guy ain't sip on drink till it's early, yeah. All of this boat take a shot, shop that Burlington did. Drink man had cracked the seal, I begged him to sell it to D. Stars on the roof, this shit ain't nothing, I switched to coupe. Emo, but she like to go take, look like Betty Boop. Shit in me, hop in SRTs and do Fruity Loops. He can't play me bank, I switch out whips like they switch out shoes. Okay. It's us. I be wrong. I was geeking. I was high as tweaking. I was trying to strike. I was trying to strike. I was trying to strike. Like a match late night. Strike like I missed it. Strike like I hit the pin. Strike like I'm not gonna work. Strike.
Slide. Shoulder. Stake them all hunts. Recreate Yoda. I don't put no crushed ice in my soda. Got it stuck like a holster. It's a gun in my holster. New Balenciaga in Dover. 220. It's a phone in my soda. Sit on a Balenci Costa.
It's us. I be wrong. I was geeking. I was trying to strike, like a match late night, strike like I missed it, strike like I hit the pin, strike like I'm not gonna work, strike.
That was Strike Holster by Lil Yachty. Man, Lil Yachty never fails, dude.
He's good.
I remember the song, the first time I heard him was the song Broccoli. Remember that song?
that random song
that came out of nowhere.
Of course, yeah, that was a good one.
But he's still around. And it's good to hear him once in a while. I want to touch on something you briefly talked about earlier, and that's your passion for photography.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about how you initially got involved in photography and what that process was like of figuring out what kinds of photos you like to take. And tell me a little bit about your origins with photography.
Sure. So at first I was actually a huge birder. I loved going to bird sanctuaries, and I loved looking for like warblers and sort of like migratory birds, that like great blue herons. I was a really big fan of birds, and so I just figured it started sort of with like a backyard bird interest, but then it kind of went to bird sanctuaries, and then eventually cemeteries as well. Cemeteries have like really good birds. It's kind of random. That was my middle school interest, and I thought, all right, binoculars are not enough, I need to capture these birds. So I got a DSLR, I got a telephoto lens, just acquired these pieces of equipment over a period of time, and I really fell in love with photography. And also I quickly became really acquainted with Lightroom, which is kind of the quintessential photo editing software that most photographers use these days, and I quickly became very good at using it. And so it just felt very natural for me to sort of hold a camera in my hand, capture the things around me, and then go back in the studio afterwards and tweak things up and adjust colors. And I felt that I just, my grandfather was a photographer, and so my mother always tells me, okay, you got the eye. I don't know if that's necessarily true. It's taken a lot of work to get to where I am now, but I always do feel like I kind of visualize things, and then I'm like, all right, how can I take this reality and transform it into art? That it kind of transitions into what I'm doing now. I'm more interested in doing portraiture these days, and so a lot of what I do is, people come to me and say, hey, I'm, as Sam did yesterday, hey, I'm, I run this radio show, hey, I'm a rapper in the case of my brother, I'm trying to get my name out there for my website, and I'd like to do this. And then how can I take that person's interest and transform it into a visual story? And I always love this sort of phrase, which is that every photo can tell a story. And so ultimately that's the goal, is how can I tell a story using this person's interest through the medium of my photography. And it's something that I love, and I will continue to do it until for a very long time.
Yeah, and there's so much that goes into it too. I mean, like, we all have phones, like everybody's out being like little photographers these days, but I feel like people who actually practice like real photography, there's so many, like, even when I was with you yesterday and seeing you like working actively with the camera, there's so much that you need to balance with the light and with the pose and the angle
shadows,
and the shadows. And there's just so much that the average person I feel like doesn't really take into account with how challenging photography is. What would you say is the most challenging part of taking photographs? So what part of the job are you like, I can't exactly get this right, I gotta keep working at this? What has been the most challenging for you?
I would say people who want to become more serious photographers have a very difficult time transitioning from iPhones to like actual DSLRs and cinema cameras as well, because obviously those cameras produce higher quality, better images, but they're significantly harder to use for a variety of respects, because you have to learn the science of photography in order to really master the art of it.
Right.
Something that's kind of unique to just photography alone. There are other things where, if you're a painter, you don't really have to learn the science of painting. You can just paint and it's fine. Photography, you have to learn about all the digital aspects. Some people also work with film photography as well, and you go dark room. What is it called? So I would say that transition is difficult, just because your iPhones, everyone has a high quality camera in their pocket these days, and you just point and shoot, and you just click a big sort of white circle, and then you get a nice crispy in focus well-lit image. It's very well-rounded, and you know the job is basically done for you. But when that transitions over to you doing the heavy lifting with all the settings, it can be really difficult. So I'd say the number one thing is just starting and experimenting and taking your camera all around with you. And you know, you never know when there's going to be kind of a photo or a story around you. And so always having it on you. I'm guilty of not doing this to an extent, but always having your camera on you and just being like, let me tweak this setting and see what this does, and really experimenting with it. I think experimental photography is probably the best way for people who don't know what they're doing can learn about, you know, how to be a real photographer.
Yeah, and I think one of the hardest things it seems like to master is the spontaneity of it, and also how to get, like, how to just take the most candid shots in certain situations that, you know, it's hard to get that exact shot, to tell the most effective story.
Oh, that's right, if that makes
sense. Yeah. And just seeing you at work yesterday, I mean, I don't think you have much to worry about. You seem like a pro.
Thank you.
People out there, Ian and I spent a good chunk of yesterday, I can't believe that was just yesterday, out on the football fields at Tufts, and he took some portraits of me that I'm going to be using to create a new poster for this show and for some other promotional things as well. And I just want to give Ian a huge shout out for that.
Thank you
so much. They came out fantastically. I can't wait to share them. But yeah, guys, if you need Tufts students, if you need photographs, like, This is your guy right here.
Yeah. Definitely. Hit me up on Instagram or, you know.
So
just talk to me. Just stop me on the street. Say hi, Ian. Don't be afraid to come up to me.
Yeah.
I don't bite. So
it's great. It was a pleasure working with you yesterday. I had a great time. Let's get into some more music here. Over My Dead Body by Drake from the Take Care album. Why'd you choose this one?
God, this is such an emotional song, and I think it's the opener of Drake's. I think most people would consider this album Drake's best album.
Yeah,
and I think that's just because I can't really speak to what other people say, but for me, this album does the best job of getting into Drake's mind of any Drake album, and so this song especially is just candid. It's just open and honest. And the contrast between sort of him hopping on the beat and talking about, you know, performing at a bar mitzvah over in the States, you know, that's a line that you can listen to, you know, as a Jew, I like that. But then also kind of hearing the, instrumentals in the background as well. And there's a great sort of solo, chords performance that happens sort of at the beginning of the song where we talk about Over My Dead Body. It's an incredible song.
I'm excited to hear it. Okay, this is Over My Dead Body by Drake. Enjoy, everybody.
Everybody in the game last year, man, f*** it, I was on though. And I thought I found a girl of my dreams at the strip club, f*** it, I was wrong though. Shout out to all my niggas living tax free. Nowadays it's six figures when they tax me. Oh well, guess you lose some and win some. Long as the outcome is income, you know I want it all, and then some. Shout out to Asian girls, let the lights dim some. Shots came, I don't know where they were sent from. Probably some bad, I'm about to take the hint from. Yeah, you know me well. Yeah, I mean, you ain't the only real. They got me on these white women like seal, a slave to the pussy, but I'm just playing the field. Yeah, all these people really discussing my career again, asking if I'll be going platinum in a year again. Don't I got this shit the world wanna hear again? No, Michael Jordan still got his hoop earring in. Man, all of your flows bore me, paint drying, and I don't ever be tripping off of what ain't mine. And I be hearing the shit you say through the grapevine, but jealousy is just love and hate at the same time. Yeah. It's been that way from the beginning. I just been playing, I ain't even noticed I was winning. And this is the only sound you should fear. Man, these kids wear crowns over here and everything is alright. Say I'm old news, well who the new star? Cause if I'm going anywhere, it's probably too far. Just performed at a bar mitzvah over in the States. Used half of the money to beat my brother's case. Red wine over fair time. But shout out to the that's doing dead time. And shout out to the just dead when it's bedtime. If you to the that think it's their time. Yeah, don't make me take your life apart, boy. You and whoever the gave you your star, boy. Or you wanna be a muff? Funny guy, don't make me break your Kevin Hart, boy. Yeah, it's whatever. You know, feeling good, living better. I think maybe I was numb to it last year, but you know I feel it now more than ever. My city love me like Mac Dre in the Bay. Second album, I'm back paving the way. The backpackers are back on the bandwagon like this was my comeback season back in the day. And I met your baby moms last night. We took a picture together, I hope she frames it. And I was drinking at the Palms last night and ended up losing everything that I came with. Yeah, feel like I've been here before, huh? I still got 10 years to go, huh? And this is the only sound you should fear. Man, these kids wear crowns over here and everything is alright.
That was Over My Dead Body, Drake, from the Take Care album. Wow. I honestly, I might sound like a casual here, but I don't think I've heard that song before. And I loved it. That was a great choice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Everybody, it's that magical time of the show. Say it with me. It's PSA time. Oh. And as always, on the show, when I have a guest, I have the guest read the PSA from the big PSA book. Ian, what is our PSA today?
Well, first of all, I didn't know you wanted me to say PSA with you, so I'm sorry. So let's do it again.
Oh, no.
Ready? Let's do it again. Ready?
I was just making a joke, but I'd love to say it with you. Okay. Right. 1, 2, 3. It's PSA time.
Okay.
What's the PSA today, Ian?
All right. This is the ladder safety PSA.
There's classic.
Something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item. Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/ladder safety. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety minded friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
That was riveting.
Was that good?
That was the best read of it I've heard.
Yeah.
Thank you for reading Ladder Safety.
Awesome.
That is a classic. Okay. But it's for real. I mean, ladders are no joke, honestly. But thank you for reading that, Ian.
Of course.
I want to we'll talk more about the next thing maybe after this song, but I wanted to make sure we had time for this song. It's City of Stars by Logic. Why'd you pick this one?
This is a song that I feel like is Logic's best song ever. Because there's so much that happens on this song. Some have said that this is a song where Logic details his relationship with music by personifying music as a woman, which I just think is genius. But ultimately, I just think it's kind of one of those songs that embraces grandeur and luxury and kind of, you know, pretentiousness and arrogance, with also just being humble. And I know those are sort of contradictory, but also just being like, this is where I'm at in my career, somewhat over my dead body, where Drake kind of clapped back at the haters there. This is a song where Logic very much does the same thing. This is kind of a theme, I guess, with the songs that I'm interested in, is that rappers who detail kind of where they're at in their career through the first song in their album or specific song in their album, in the case of City of Stars. It's usually their best work. Tuscan Leather by Drake is another example of that. And so Devil in the New Jest with Kanye is another example of that. So the list goes on, or Runaway for that matter. So yeah, super excited to show you all this song. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear it too. Let's just get right into it. City of Stars by Logic. Here we go.
Life on Mars. This is so long. You give me so wrong. Even though they undershit me, did me like Bobby did Whitney, but the fans was with me. Know my name around the world, but it still ain't hit me. All the talent in the world, and they still don't get me. I didn't talk about my race on the whole first album, but black versus white bullshit was still the outcome. How come these motherfuckers can't seem to let it go? Judging rap by race instead of the better flow. Who gives a fuck who made it? I penetrated and innovated. Why they emulated? Give a fuck if I'm hated. I'ma do it till I get a fucking nominated. Bitch, I dominated. Yeah, emails from Rick Rubin. Dinner with no ID, chilling with P-I-G-G-A-D-D-Y-K-A-N-E. Not many get to do what I do when I enemies. Thinking they slick as fuck like they finna be fronting me. But let's get back to the music, I'm gone. Outside of the solar system, I'm searching for paradise. Living the life, I've been a vet. Fuck all these cats on the internet. I love hip-hop and I hate hip-hop. Cause people that love Pac hope that Drake gets shot. Cause he raps about money and bitches. For heaven's sakes, Pac did the same shit just on a drum break. Now I ain't wanna name names, I'm just dropping this game. We all people, all equal. Now let me let off. Yeah, now let me let off. Tougher than raw denim, flow you can identify. Talib said it best back in the day, we just trying to get by. Two words, most deaf in my headphones. Black on one side, now I'm in another zone. Switch flows, come up, play the game, run them up. Yeah, I sold a couple records, but people don't give a fuck. All the people want is real, guess that's why logic appeal. All the power in the world, hold up, tell me how that feel. Racism on television and magazines, paying taxes to soldiers don't run out of magazines. Goddamn, country don't give a fuck who I am. Just a young on the rise with the mic in my hand, and I am. Here's to the rock, the 45 Glock that my older brother Pop shot, and I am finally on top. Too high, I'm not a drop. Stop, we getting guap, I am living like I ain't got it. Spit the flow so robotic, man, who gives a fuck about it? Maryland till I die, but how to get the fuck about it? I love it and hate it, you probably don't know, man, I doubt it.
That was City of Stars by Logic. That was a what an experience that was. That was something.
It was something. It was something. I think the best way to listen to that song, honestly, I mean, you can listen to it anyway. It's a good song. But just walking in a city.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're having your main character moment. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally. So, it was fun to just people, like lean back and
some people their lives
take that in.
That's like permanently their moment. For me, it happens like, you know, like once a week or something. But when it happens, this is the song.
This is the song for Ian Kaplan.
Everyone's
everybody.
Got an ego when they listen to a song like this. So.
Yeah, I'll be calling on it more and more. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that one. So this is a question that I ask all of my guests when I have on the show, and it's very open ended, but it often leads to some really interesting answers. What are you passionate about?
You know, that I think I'll just be honest with you and say that I'm really passionate about helping people improve their lives, but not in the traditional sense. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, what I love and adore doing and I spend the majority of my time doing is, you know, helping people in like in a physical sense. But I think ultimately what I'm doing is striving to make the world a better place through, you know, implementing strong, good public policies. I think the belief that we can solve our problems only outside of government, I don't think that's true. I think that there are so many good things you can do. But that starts with being a good person and loving those around you. But I'm really passionate about implementing those policies and making people's lives better through good governance. And I mean, and that relates to kind of, you know, what I'm doing for, you know, my major, which is international relations. And
yeah.
I'm really focusing on, you know, what are national strategies so that, you know, you can study politics throughout the world and understand the problems people are facing. And there are many of them. And then how can we adequately address those problems? And I have a very realistic outlook on the world. I don't think sort of idealizing a specific form of governance or a specific way of living, for that matter, is really a good thing. I think diversity is a strength. I think people who don't get along versus people who do get along. I mean, there's an ability for everyone to have sort of their own niche in the world. And I think supporting that and allowing people to sort of thrive on an individual level, and also on a communal level, that's something that for me, implementing that sort of vision is just it's sort of a dream of mine. But yeah, I mean I know that's kind of a sort of broad, open ended.
Yeah.
I think if I were to put it into one phrase, it's just making people's lives better.
Yeah,
that's what I care about. That's what I'm passionate.
That's a wonderful sentiment, and we need more of that in the world today. And what are some ways? Have you thought about potentially some ways, like professionally, like how do you see this maybe translating into a particular
career path?
Like you said, it doesn't have to be limited to a particular job path, a particular career, a particular this or that. It's the idea that's the most important thing. Yeah. But what are some potential professions that you see this translating well into?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten that question actually several times recently, and the only answer I really have is that I don't have a good answer.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't really know where that could lead me, because you think, okay, you need to become a lawmaker, you need to become a diplomat, you need to become a leader, whatever the case may be. But there are all sorts of ways to implement that vision. I think doing what you love and doing it well is probably the most direct way to do that. And what I love doing, sort of specifically, I mean, I could easily see myself telling visual stories, you know, and being someone who makes films that, you know, sort of documentary films or political films that advocate for a specific policy view, or tell an incredible story of just a unique human being who has done so much good for the world, or is on the contrary done some very negative things. That those are equally powerful stories. It doesn't have to be all positive. So I'll sort of tie in those dual visions. But as for a specific career path, I have no idea.
Yeah,
and so that's why I'm taking time, you know, in college to sort of ask myself these questions. And I hope that's a lesson for all of the viewers listening today, is that, you know, not knowing what you want to do and what the next 10 years are going to look like is a pretty normal thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I had everything sort of master planned in my life, I don't think I would be a normal person. I think that's a pretty irregular thing. So sort of taking some time to ask myself that question is certainly something I'll continue to do for years to come.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm in the same boat as you. I don't, you know, I have a general like idea of how I want to be in the world and what, like, how I want to contribute, but I have no idea where that could go, you know? It could changes by the day, it changes all the time. Sure. But I honestly think that's what our these 20s, and that's what the early part of our life is for, is to just really just find as many different avenues as possible to explore and contribute meaningfully to things. Sure. And just vibe. So that was awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I'm just going to play a quick spec song, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back with some more stuff. Sorry, everybody. We're dealing with some technical difficulties right now. Ian, you said you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was thinking about what we were talking about earlier, Sam. Just about photography and all the incredible impacts it can have. I just wanted to ask all of our viewers, you know, if you can think of one moment in your life that, you know, if you could capture it on photo, you know, what would that moment be, and why? And that's something that I think about all the time. And I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thank you for sharing with that. Sorry, everybody. Where I was gonna play some music here. It looks like the soundboard's being a little finicky right now, so I'm gonna just automate some music for everybody for just a couple moments while I troubleshoot, and then we'll come back right away. Thanks for your patience.
Too scared to speak. You got me walking on a tightrope, tightrope. It's been a long time since we spoke, we spoke. I don't know how you're feeling about me right now, but I know that I need you some way, somehow. Play the victim, yeah. Acting different when invested. My brain is something that you mess with. Confusion turns into decay, causing damage that we ain't amending. There's no cure for what this is. No longer my lost the feeling that was divine. You got me walking on a tightrope, tightrope. It's been a long time since we spoke, we spoke. I don't know how you're feeling.
All right, we're back, everybody. Sorry about the technical difficulties there. I think that's the first time in the history of that show when I've had live technical difficulties in the middle of the show, and Ian was there for it. So thanks for bearing with me. Of course it was you. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding around. So you mentioned before your brother is a rapper. He's an artist. Is Sophical his name?
Sophical. That's him. Yes.
And I got a song right now by Sophical himself, Midnight in Vouvant. You want to talk a little bit about
Absolutely.
Why this song in particular and what it means to you, your brother, your family, everything?
So this is one of my... First of all, my brother, Graham Kaplan, he is he's a rapper, singer-songwriter, and just an incredible all-around talented musician. And he just dropped on Monday, so less than a week ago, his debut album. It's called Vouvant Volume 1. Now, this album is about... It sort of takes a story, which actually was a senior thesis, which is about... three characters: Sophical, who's kind of a Peter Pan, or sort of he's like a Peter Pan like character, I think, and Caroline, who is kind of his robber in company. And so Sophical and Caroline go to houses and they rob people's houses who are rich, and then they give those things back to the poor, basically. Do you know? It's not Peter Pan. I'm thinking of
Robin Hood.
My
Robin
apologies.
Hood. I said no. Peter. You're good.
He is like Sophocles, is like Robin Hood, and so Caroline is his partner in crime. But Vouvant is actually a real place. It's a sort of picturesque French town where it's kind of like fairy tale like, and there's a big kind of castle in the town. And in this story, Jacques, who is the sort of the big evil bad guy, he is the main villain, and he has the castle, he's the richest guy in the town. And so they decide, all right, they want to rob Jacques and give back all of his treasures to the poor in the town. But unfortunately what happens is as they're robbing Jacques' castle, Caroline gets caught up and Sophocle goes out and he no longer is with her. And ultimately he finds out several years later that she has married Jacques and they've taken them together. And so it's a choice between riches and love. She loves Sophocle, but at the same time Jacques has all this money and she's kind of been forced into this relationship, but she doesn't want to leave because there's all this money and she doesn't want to be poor anymore. So wow. it's such an interesting concept, and this album is kind of a spinoff of that story and tells a story about my brother's kind of experiences throughout his life and some of the emotions he's dealt and about his personal growth, but also with allusions to this incredible fairy tale story. So I'll let you take it away.
I'm so excited for this. And so your brother crafted that entire story.
He crafted the entire story. He crafted the entire album by himself. He mixed, mastered, produced the whole thing, as well as, you know, he's on every song. You'll hear him.
Oh.
He's got some voicemails on the song. It's really a vibe.
I'm so excited for this. Midnight in Vouvant by Sophocle. Buckle up, everybody, and enjoy the ride. Here we go.
Sit back, relax, enjoy the show. Soft.
And I swear on my life, when you're like mentioning the restaurant and the reservation, I have no recollection of that. And you know how much I care about you and how much I've wanted to see you for these last few weeks. And you know if I had like remembered in my drunken state that we had had plans, of course, 110% I would have been there. But you know how much I care about you, and I know this is like not a good feeling, and I feel horrible. I genuinely feel horrible, and I care about you a lot, and I don't. This might end up in a song, you never know, but it's honestly miscommunication, but not like the last time.
That was Midnight in Vouvant by the one and only Sophocle. Dang. That was good? That was... Ooh. I didn't even know. Honestly, I didn't even know what was going on for a lot of it, but just the sound of it was so distinct.
Look, if you just went through a breakup and you're in your feels, let this be a tool for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was very raw, very...
raw, emotional, candid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Shout out to Sophocle, Ian's brother. Hope you're doing well out there, and thank you for making your music. Yeah. But we have come to the end of the show today, everybody. Ian, thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for taking some fantastic photos that I can't wait to share with the world on the Spec Instagram. As soon as maybe tonight, any new photos that you see, everybody, those are Ian Kaplan's work. That was a fantastic photo shoot. And thank you so much for listening, everybody. As always, hope you're doing well. Sundays at 4, the Spec is happening this semester. Going to get more guests, more live music, more of everything coming your way very soon. We're going to make the most of this semester. Ian, do you have any parting words for us this evening?
You know, to all those people out there who are not really sure what they want to do, and they have their dreams, but they're just not sure how to pursue them. They're not sure if it's worth it, you know, because there are so many burdens of just the everyday realities. It was once said of J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings trilogy, etc., that he triumphed with the perception that a single dream is more powerful than 1,000 realities.
Yeah.
So let that sink in. My brother is pursuing his dreams. All of those around you, you watch them take off and pursue their dreams. Why not let it be you? Why not pursue your dreams? Why not be happy with what you're doing and do what you love? So I encourage all of our listeners to do what they love and do it well, and continue to make the world a better place. I'm so thankful for you, Sam. Thank you so much.
Of course, my man.
The best radio host
of course
you can possibly ask for. Tune in to the Spec Radio 4 p.m. Sundays, and I'll talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Ian. That is definitely words to live by, genuinely, for everybody, and we can think of it as the motto of the show. But thanks again for listening, everybody. I will see you next week, Sunday at 4 p.m. Take care. Bye-bye.
One, two, one, two, three.